Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
All right, y'all can have a seat. Thank y'all so much for braving the elements today and coming out. And if you're joining us online, I got all sorts of jokes and comments for y'all, but I'm just so glad you're watching online while the rest of us are here in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I'm just kidding. So we are glad that you're here. Thanks for tuning in, or thanks for braving the elements again. And I know that, is this like the first time they've ever gotten it right, the weather?
100%.
Yeah, huh?
100%.
100%, yeah. Anybody look at the weather this morning? And it literally said 100% chance of snow. We were just talking, have never seen that before, ever. And that actually did. So thanks, and thank you, Lord, for the snow and for the moisture. We definitely need it. I heard a farmer say in Bible study last week, we don't need a rain, we need a wet spell. And I think that hopefully that's what we're going to get right here. Today and tonight, we'll be here for worship, but tonight, nothing going on here at the church. There's something about, there's some tournament or some activity or sporting something or another. Taylor Swift is going to be present at a Super Bowl, so yeah. Yeah. Anyway, glad you're here. Today we're going to start a new sermon series called The Shift, and it's really about shifting our perspective and who we are in Christ so we can see Him, and we're going to start with prayer today. And I promise we are going to get out early so we can finish that as much as we can, and then so y'all can get home before we're buried here together for a couple of days. And as you think about your shift, as you think about who you are in Christ, here's what the whole day surrounds, is what do you need to do, just one little thing, to be able to move your position in life, to be able to see more of Jesus, and for Jesus to be able to interact with you more. And that can be in prayer, that can be in Bible study, that can be in scripture, it can be in worship, it can be in relationships with others. Whatever it is, we all need a shift. I need a shift, every one of us. And so that's what we're going to start talking about over the next couple of weeks. Lord God, thank you for today, and thank you for our time together. Lord, as we put ourselves in a place, Lord, to be teachable. Lord, as a disciple, we've been talking about in our small group about being available, about being teachable. Lord, and those really are two of the biggest things. Father, just to be in your presence and to say, Lord, here I am. Father, and then to be teachable, to say, not just here I am, Lord, but I'm willing to change. I'm willing to shift my life to be more like you. And then, Lord, and then to be faithful. Father, to do that which you've called us to do. And so, Lord, let us be available and teachable and faithful. Grow us in our ministry to other people and to each other. Lord, we need you just as much as everybody else. Let it be so in the name of Christ. And all the people said, amen. Lord, thank you that we get to just worship and be in your presence. Lord, that you would care enough about us to be with us. Lord, not us come to you, but you come to us. Lord, thank you. And as we do, Lord, you know our hearts. Father, you hear our prayers. You know our circumstances. Lord, this morning there are lots of things going on, even in this room right now. Lots of family situations, lots of personal situations. Lord, there's recovery from illness, recovery from treatments for cancer. Lord, there's just struggles of life this morning, no matter what our ages are. Lord, there's lots. There's illness in families right now. Of whatever it is, Father, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to us, Lord, as we open ourselves up to you. Lord, bring healing into our lives, supernatural healing, Lord, in all of our relationships, no matter what those are. Father, into our physical being. Father, our finances. Lord, the struggles in this world. Just, Lord, how we can just deal with what's going on in life. Lord, our attitude towards others. I don't know what it is, but it all boils down to this, Lord. We desire a relationship with you, and sometimes these other things get in the way. Lord, I pray that you would make a way for us, and Lord, and that you would help us through, that you would give us a vision. Lord, that you would show us a path. to be with you every moment of every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated.
Just a reminder that we have baskets or buckets outside. We have the black boxes for you to put your offerings, and that you can also give online. Before we head out for children's worship, we are going to pray for our offerings. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the beautiful snow this morning, Lord, and for all, goodness, the servants' hearts. I gave my Sunday school teachers the morning off, and they still showed up, and the people outside shoveling snow and all the things, the donuts that still just happened so we could have fellowship with you this morning, God. We are so thankful for all the ways that this church gives back to you, Lord, and for all the ways you make it possible for us to do that. Lord, we just lift up all the offerings, whether they're in service or monetary donations, Lord, we lift them all up to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. All right, kiddos, let's go to children's church.
Can you put that giving slide back on there just for 2 seconds? No, the other one with the telephone numbers. There we go. Type refund if this was a mistake. I've been here for 23 years, and I've never seen that before in my life. I just wanted to make sure that I knew what that said. I've always said if you have trouble, we will definitely help you with your giving and, Lord, with your resources. And so I'm just glad to see that's there, literally. Forget the mistake part, just whatever's going on in your life. As we talk about shift today, we're going to talk about prayer and what that means for us. I think that prayer is not supposed to simply happen. We're in a crisis or emergency, even though that does happen. But I think what God wants for us, what Christ wants for us, is that it's a steady, constant state of communication with God, over and over and over and over again. And really, where it makes us inseparable, right, with synchronization, as we talk about in our culture now, with who God is and what His plans are and His will is for our life. And as we do that, I don't want to redefine prayer today. That's not my job. But it is to allow us to shift into what prayer is supposed to be. And so I want to have a biblical discussion about that. Because when we talk about prayer, a lot of people say, like, if I came to your house or you came here and we were talking about your discipleship efforts and your spiritual life, when people are having trouble, right, in relationships or marriage or in finances or whatever it is, the first thing I always ask that family or that person is, how are you praying? Or really the first thing I say is, are you praying? If it's a couple, I say, are y'all praying together? Or if it's in a relationship, whatever it is. And people will always say stuff like, well, you know, I pray at mealtime. Please keep doing that. Or I pray with my kids before they go to bed. My next question is, how often are you praying other than just with your kids? Or how much are you teaching your kids to pray other than just when you go to bed? I pray for people when they ask me to. Great. How often still are you praying for them when they're not asking? There's more to prayer than just reaction. Okay, prayer is not supposed to just be reactionary. This is how we respond to the will of God in our life. And so no matter the circumstances, let's be in that constant state of synchronization with the Lord. That's really what prayer is about. And then all these other situations are our specific requests, right? Then those come along. That will for our life and us asking God to help us and to show us and give us direction, then that comes with it. But I think it's easier when we have that general idea. And so if you want the notes today, the extra notes, you can text the word notes to that phone number and you'll get those. There's more in there today than what you're going to hear about. And so for some of y'all that are guests today, we would be here till 1:30 or 2 if I gave you everything that I think about all week long. So I put it in there so you can have that. And so I want to read to you out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. Chapter 6, verse 7 through 10, and this is Jesus talking about prayer. We're not going to go through the whole thing today, but we are going to start with the first thing that Jesus says about prayer. And he says this. He says, "And when you are praying, or pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's how he starts the first part of it. And so look at what he says for us. I think this idea of this first shift that we're supposed to have in our life is how do we in our daily life, we need to shift to see God. Because that's all Jesus is saying right here. He's teaching us this idea of shifting to be able to see Jesus. And when we do that, I mean, you have to be able to move yourself around to be able to see Jesus. And so I made this little, I don't even know what you would call this thing, but it allows us that idea of seeing who Jesus is. And you might have to shift a little bit, right? If I make it really obvious to you, then it makes it a little easier to see. I got to look and see myself, make sure I get it right. It's easy to see Jesus when you're looking straight on, right? When it's presented right towards you. I mean, now, you have to really look at it, okay, because you have Jesus, okay? But when you look at it this way, that's easy for me to show you. But when life changes and when the parts of your life get moved around and you get into this situation, depending on where you're sitting, where you're standing, not just in the room, but in life, you may have to work a little harder. You may have to move yourself a little bit to be able to see how it fits together. And that's where we are in life. Every day, every moment is what shift do you have to make? Because I promise you, if you're on this side of the room, you don't see Jesus. And if you're on this side of the room, you don't see Jesus, right? Only when you're right in front of this analogy, of this demonstration, that's the only way. And so you may have to shift and you may have to move to be able to see God. See, he said that God is the authority. When he says this idea of praying and why, he says, start with our Father. Start with the recognition, just the recognition of God. Before you cry out for anything, before you do anything else, we just start with our God, because this connection starts with recognizing who our Creator is. This connection starts with the authority of who we are asking. This connection starts with Jesus. And there are more miracles in the life of Jesus than we can really talk about in any one setting. But I promise you this, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the fact that God did give us this rebirth to be able to see Jesus the way God wants us to. He gave us regeneration. He gave us recreation. He said, I'm taking the old and I'm making you new. No matter what's gone on in your life, I can show you salvation. I can give you salvation. I can show you Jesus. So when you start saying with our Father, you're automatically recognizing him for who he is. In the world, you hear all the time different religions, different deities, different ideas and ways to worship, different ways to God and different ways to heaven and different ways to salvation. No, there is only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And when Jesus says, pray this way, he's really recognizing the authority, recognizing that authority. This last couple of weeks, I don't know if you saw, I just thought of it this morning, trying to remember and just think of a current day illustration where people don't recognize authority. A couple of weeks ago in New York City, some police officers tried to break up a fight, and when they got into a scuffle with the offenders and they got down on the ground trying to arrest them, other people around the police officers started kicking them and kicking them in the head and beating them up and trying to drag them off of the people that were actually breaking the law. That right there is a perfect example of just not recognizing authority. Whether they agreed with it or not, whether it just doesn't matter. It's just recognizing the authority, and that's what Jesus is talking about with God. Just start with recognizing who God is and how his character of being the one in charge. And consequently, with this idea of our Father, Matthew 18, 1 through 3 says this. He says, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and sat him among them and said, truly I say to you, unless you change and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." He's not talking about, okay, this is just my personality. He's not talking about you being a big baby. Amen? Some of you've got that covered. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the attitude of a child. Not the bad attitude of a child that's being stubborn and those kinds of things, but the attitude, the characteristic of being open, the characteristic of being teachable, the characteristic of being able to be shaped and formed in a certain way. Scripture says that Jesus was talking about this child who was humbled as a child and who was open-hearted, right, or open-minded, to be able to be filled with what God had for them. See, that's this idea of coming to God and just saying, "Our Father." And so when he talks about those children and he talks about that idea, I don't like this word when we talk about God, and I'm just going to say this. I don't like this characteristic of as modern as I like to say that I am, and is open to ideas about who God is in relationship to Scripture. I still don't like it when we talk about God as Daddy. And here's why. It just sounds so informal to me, and I get the concept, and I think it's 100% right. It's just weird to me to talk to God and say Daddy, because that really doesn't communicate my feelings about who God is. But the truth of it is, that's the relationship between a child and a father. That's the relationship to say, "I'm dependent upon you." That's the relationship to say, "I trust you." That's the relationship to say that I believe that you will care for me and that you want what's best for me and that you will save me and that you will protect me and you will bring healing into my life when I am sick." And you just go all through it all the time. All the provisions that our children need when they look upon their mom, but in this case we're talking about dad. That's the relationship Jesus is talking about. Is that the relationship I'm going to ask you that you believe in when you pray? Is that how you view that? Because when you go to the Father, when you go to God and you say, "Our Father, I believe in all of my heart," that's where the relationship starts mattering. That's where, when he hears that out of your mouth, it melts the heart of a father for him to want to respond. When we have the right attitude. And so I want you, I don't know if I can play it from here, but maybe that I can? Okay, great. And so I just want you to hear this. This is not about me and my family, it's just for an illustration. But if you want to hear about... Can you play that one more time? And get the, can you go back to that slide? I can't get it. Okay. Come on now. I believe with all my heart that's how God hears us. No matter what your age, no matter where you're at, it's just that idea of calling out to him, "Our Father, my Father, God in heaven." In prayer this morning, I can't remember the exact wording that was used, but it was God in heaven, our heavenly Father, I think is the word. And that's rightly in that relationship. That's the right relationship. And that melts the heart of God to say for us to communicate that we believe in you. Not just believe that you're God of the universe, but we believe in you as the one who cares about us, cares about me, cares about my life. The phrase, even Macy, I don't know how we got into this, but every once in a while, Macy would come, and even when she calls him every once in a while, she says, "Hey, Father," and then my joke back to her is, "How are you, daughter?" Right? And it's not for any other reason than just a recognition of who we both are. And she doesn't mean it in a, well, I shouldn't say she doesn't mean it, but she does mean it occasionally. That dig, okay, Father, right? And sometimes when I say, okay, daughter, or okay, child, right? I mean, we're putting each other in our place, amen? Yeah, that's just what we do. But still, it's communicating the relationship. And so I know when she comes to me and she says, Dad, or she says, Father, I know that she's coming to me. She's recognized me, and she's loving on me. And when we start with our Father, it automatically changes our own mentality. That's the other thing Jesus was talking about. He didn't say the word shift, but he's really talking about a shift. He's talking about get yourself in a place where you can see God as your Father, where you can see him as the one who will respond to you. Now, let me say this about dads. Let me say this about fathers. We don't all have a great model. And I can attest to this. If you want to hear my testimony sometime, we can do that. I love my dad. He's not with us anymore. He's in heaven. But it wasn't the greatest dad on the face of the planet. Okay? Just wasn't. But I also know this. A lot of us want to project that onto God. Okay, let me just tell you, God is not a bigger version of your dad. Hallelujah. He's not. He is the greater version of what God intended our dads to be. Let me say that again. You can look at your dad and just know that there is a greater version of what God intended, even though our dads may not have lived up to that, but God is not that. He is the best. He is the ultimate. He is the absolute perfection of what a father should be. And that brings me to the second one, the second shift, and that is the fact that we have to realize that God reframes every moment of our life when we go to him as our Father. God reframes the moments of your life when you engage with him as your Father, right? When you say, here's what's going on, but God, I want you to be involved. Here's what's going on. I want you to be involved as my Father. I want you to direct this. I want you to give me advice. I want to follow you. I want you to protect me. I want to see what you see in this moment, and that's where God reframes it, where he can show us what is different in that moment when he reframes that. And in that reframing it, here's what Jesus said. He said, don't just say our Father, say our Father who is in heaven, okay? So we've rightly enthroned him, even though the Holy Spirit lives in us. He's here with us now, okay? But we say our Father who art in heaven. And then he says, say hallowed, recognize him, hallowed be your name. Hallowed's a great old biblical word. All it means is holy, right? Holy is your name, and holy is different. Holy is set apart. Holy is the ultimate of who God is, and that's where we quickly reframe our relationship. It's not just a father relationship. It's a holy father relationship, and it's one who changes what goes on in our life when we find that holiness. And listen to me. Here's what I really like about what Jesus says. This is where I have to remind myself, I have to slow myself down in prayer, because just like you, I'm like, okay, dear Lord, thank you, and then I go into giving all of my advice to God about how I want him to run my life. Amen? Yeah. I'm the only one? Y'all have never given God any advice. Y'all have never told him how you want it done. You've never instructed him on how things you want it to go. You've never told him what you want and that it's really the best, and so he should give it to you. Well, I'm the only sinner in the room. Hallelujah. See, that's what, he hasn't even gotten to questions yet. He hasn't even gotten to request. He hasn't even gotten to the part where we say, I need, or will you, or anything else. He's just saying, recognize your relationship and recognize who he is in his holiness. Start with that, and it will shift your whole perspective on prayer. It'll shift your whole perspective on seeing Jesus. We've just come to his throne as his child, and we are saying he is our Father and he is holy. I want you to hear that. You are coming into the very throne room of God when you say, God our Father, when you say, you are holy. And let me show you. This is where shifts begin, and I think it'll change your prayer life if you'll just listen to this. Just listen to this story. It's not on the screen. Actually, it is. Would you follow it back there? This is where we're going to Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 31. Peter and John have just been arrested, and then they've been released after all this hoopla that's gone on. But we get to verse 23. When they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported what all the chief priests and elders had said to them. Not good, by the way. And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, strike down the chief priests and all of the religious people and the elders, because I don't know what they're talking about, and here's how I want you to do it. No, that's not what they said. Here's what they said. O Lord, it's you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in the city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, who you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do to whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence, while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders to take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then look. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak of the word of God with boldness. See, that's a glorious reframing. When people were threatening them and against them and throwing them in jail, all they said was, Lord, you are God, and you know what's going on. We just want to recognize you for who you are. Here's what's happened, and we just want your will to be done. And bam, look what happened. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were able to speak in ways they'd never spoken before, and they were ministering in ways they'd never ministered before, and people were coming and listening, and they never really asked for anything. They never gave God any advice. They didn't give him his laundry list or their laundry list for him to take care of. And not saying that he doesn't want that, because he does. He wants to know your heart. He wants you to release those needs to him. He wants you to have a conversation with him because he loves you. He wants to hear from you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. I want you to just think of this for just a second. And we all know, I just want you to think of the pageantry of God. I want you to think of just all the things that might be going on in heaven right now. And then I want you to compare that. We're going to come back to that. I want you to compare that to the pageantry we know like dignitaries' funerals. I just saw something a couple of weeks ago on the how much the funeral for Queen Elizabeth cost. Millions. And they had all the trappings. And then I went, I wonder how much Kennedy's funeral cost. And all of the trappings and the horses and the marching bands and the funeral procession and the church and the flowers and the police officers and the security and closing off the streets and all the things that had to happen. Then think about Lady Diane when she died and all the things that went on there. And I just went through all those. And then I was back to this idea of what's going on in heaven right now and the pageantry that's going on around around God, the true worship of God, singing holy, 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 and there's trumpets, and there's what we would call band. There's a band going on. There's people praying. There's elders falling down on their face. They're singing. There's all the stuff. And then all of a sudden, you say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy are you, Lord." Here's the way I picture it. All that's happening. And God's pleased with that. He's like, not in an arrogant way, but he's like, "Yes, thank you. I appreciate you. This is wonderful." And yes, and then I don't know. And then Robert up here, he says, "Father." All of a sudden, while God is watching that, I can just see God turning his head and looking straight at Robert and saying, "Yes, Robert." Right? Why would he do that? Because he loves us, because he cares for us, because there's a shift in Christ where we don't have to do all those other things. We just have to call on his name, and we just have to say, "Our Father who art in heaven." And that leaves me to the third shift, and this is the biggest one and the last one for today. I think this is the biggest one of all. And this is this idea of crying out in Christian faith, this idea of what prayer really is. And I want you to, if we go back to verse 9 in chapter 6, where that word pray, by the way, Jesus says, "When you pray, when." He doesn't say if you pray or on occasion when you get around to it. He says when. He has this automatic understanding that we are going to pray, that we are going to spend time with God, that we're going to be in communication, that we're going to do these things. He says, "When you pray," okay? And this idea of when you pray, it's this supernatural exchange of our wills, the supernatural exchange of what I want to what God wants. It's a supernatural exchange of thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But look at this word. I put the whole definition up there. It's a lot, but it's this Greek word really means, the first part of the word means to exchange, right? The first part of the word means to exchange, and you can see that right there. But then the second part is to exchange with the Lord, to interact with him, to exchange our wishes, our ideas, our needs, our wants for his ideas, needs, wishes, and wants. And let me just say this. I don't even like the word wishes because it sounds like I have a birthday cake in front of me or I'm throwing a penny in a fountain. That's not what we're talking about. Okay, we're not talking about those kinds of wishes. We're talking about the wishes that you're praying for when you wish there would be healing, when you wish that more money would show up in your bank account because you're broke, your wishes for your healing in your relationships, your wishes for what you're calling upon God for. But he does it, and as we do that, he imparts faith upon us. As he imparts faith. See, when we pray and we're saying, "Not my will, but thy will," then more faith comes. Because I have to have the faith that my way is not better than God's. Amen? Because I want to know that my way is better. I have it all laid out. I have a plan. Right? But yet, I know that when I'm having that supernatural exchange, I want to change the M in my to the TH in thy. I know that's so hokey, isn't it? But it's so true. I want to change my will for thy will, God. I want to change my will for your will. And that's a shift. That's a shift in the way that we have to think about prayer. That's a shift to know that it's not my will, it's your will. And as he does, my faith grows. Because I have to have faith to believe in thy will. I have to have faith to believe that God's going to take care of me. I have to have faith that my God, my Savior, my Lord, my King, as Scripture says, my friend, is going to catch me when I start to fall. Thy will, that he's going to lead me down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That surely goodness and mercy will chase me all the days of my life. I have to have faith to believe in that. I have to have faith that he's working even when I don't see him. I have to have faith that he's taking care of things when I can't. I have to have faith that he's helping me. And so today, I want you to think about this idea of exchange. I want you to think about this idea of shifting in your life, and what is that going to take? For, and it may be a big shift, by the way. And I'm not a proponent. If the Lord wants to make a big shift in your life, I'm all for that. But I never ask anybody, never really, truly ask anybody to make such a radical shift that they're totally lost, that they have no understanding of where they are whatsoever. I just want you to, I do it all the time, but really it's just one little step. Because after you take one, then you can take another little step. And after taking several little steps, you've made a big shift in your life. And that's all it takes. Just little incremental steps along the way. Now, I know that some of us, in whatever our circumstances, here today or online, or somebody may hear this 10 years from now, they might need to make a huge shift, or they will die. I get that. And that's literal. I see it a couple of times a year. People that really need to make a shift, or they're going to be in a divorce. They need to make a shift, or literally their addiction is going to kill them. They need to make a shift, or they're going to lose their children. They need to make a shift, right? I get that. But that's where the faith comes in. And that's where the shift comes in, that Jesus will save us. So I'm going to pray for you and for me, that the Lord would just show us. Maybe you need that illustration of the footprints in the sand poem right now, where you see the little footprints in front of you, right, where God's carrying you. Maybe you need those footprints to know where to walk and where to make your shift. I'm great with that. You may need to just have that little spot illuminated right next to your next chapter in life, and you need to say, I need to go this way instead of that way. Whatever you need, I'm going to pray that God would do that. And by the way, it doesn't matter if you're in the first grade or if you're in the 101st grade. Amen? It doesn't matter. All of us need to make a shift. Lord, today, I know for myself, Lord, even just in my prayer time this morning, Father, I need to make a shift in my heart and mind and my attitude. Lord, I need to just spend more time with you, not for a purpose and not for a reason, not for a conference about what's going on, Father, not for mediation about a situation. Lord, just to sit at the feet of, at your feet of the throne, and just spend time with you and just hear from you. Lord, that's what you're saying to me. And Lord, I'm sorry that I've made it all transactional lately instead of relational. Lord, let us not fall into that trap, because then we miss your heart. We miss the heart of a Father who loves us and who wants to give us immeasurably more than we could ever think or ask, as your holy word says. So Lord, let it be so for us in this room. Lord, I know we have friends in the church. Father, we have friends outside the church, Lord, that are just in desperate need of your healing touch this morning. And Lord, I can think of some very specific people. Lord, they're in the sunsets of their lives. And Lord, they need you. Their families need you. Father, their families need a shift in prayer. Father, they need a shift to be able to see you working in the midst of what they think is not a good circumstance. Father, that we all need a shift. Because when we do, then Lord, we reflect you differently to the world. And that will make all the difference. So let it be so in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father and of the Son, our Father who art in heaven. Let it be done here on earth. In Jesus' name, all the people said, amen, amen. High King of heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, hear us, see us, Guide us and direct us, and give us the faith to follow. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all the people said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.